Good morning, everybody. Caught some of you off guard. It's so good to see all of you today. I'm so thankful that you're here. And if you're visiting with us, we'd love to get to know you better. So please fill out a card so we can get in touch with you. It's just a great day to be in the house of the Lord today. It's also a great day, but it's been a week of it's been a week of grieving with the loss of Ray and Joe Hester, and we have life, right? We know that we will live, we know that we will die on this earth, and what to come is given to us in the Word and the faith in God. We also, in return, get to celebrate life today. So to celebrate Emily and Cody's sweet baby, and so there's celebration of the life that lived and the life to come. So please join us today if you are going to be there for Emily. And there is so much going on. You see youth running around wildly because there's an awesome senior adult banquet coming up. And next Saturday is our big fundraiser dinner, the Southern Charm dinner. So these are the tickets. This is the last Sunday that you can buy a ticket for our dinner and silent auction. We're having catered barbecue and homemade sides and dessert. So it's going to be awesome. $20 a ticket. If you do not have this, I have students that have extra tickets. So after the service, they're going to be standing, if you didn't know that, students stand at the doors, and they can sell these to you. You don't have to bring the ticket with you, but your name needs to be on the list so that we know how many to get ready for. So keep up with what's going on. We have a lot of fun stuff ahead of us. And I just want to say, I didn't get to be here last week because I had one of the best weekends ever with our youth, and it was, you know, really diving into not just, you know, we went to the Love, Sex, and Dating Conference, and it was teaching us what that relationship of agape love is with God, and it was incredible. I was taking notes and working on my own life, so our students had an incredible weekend of deep discussion and discipleship to what that looks like in your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul, and what that love is like and supposed to look like. So thank you all for the prayers that you gave us for that. So let's continue that prayer talk, and let's go to our Savior in prayer this morning. Lord, we come before you with thanksgiving. Thankful that you didn't leave us here with no guide, with no hope, no wisdom, that you gave us here as you gave us to be here as people with souls that long for you, with direction, with wisdom to give us, that we're not just left as an accident, like some believe, that we have a purpose, that we're meant for something, that when we have faith in the unseen, no matter what our situation is, maybe it's in the hardest moments when life is taken from this earth, or maybe it's in other times, but when we have faith, God, you always come through. You come through in your perfect way and in your perfect time. When we do that, when we step off the cliff and say, you're ours and I'm yours, and I give everything to you. So I pray that as we study your word this morning, as we sing praises to you, our Holy Father, that we grow in faith and in confidence, that we don't have to see you face to face to see everything that you've done, that you are, that you've created, and the life that you give us when we act in that way. When we abide, like John 15, when we abide in you, Lord, our fruit is evident. So let our fruit be evident today and this week as followers of Christ. We praise you, we worship you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break. declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Soil captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn light.
Y'all need to stand up. This is too good.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets.
Shout his name this morning.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name. Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Sing, your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows. Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
Jesus for my family.
Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Your name is power.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
Give him praise this morning.
Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Jesus.
I just want to speak the name.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there's peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I shout the name of Jesus in the streets and on the mountaintops. Are we comfortable doing that? Are we proud enough of our faith? Are we comfortable enough in our faith to let people know where we stand in Christ? And in those times of difficulty, those times of hardship, doesn't the name of Jesus bring such peace? Amen. It's a story of a young man that inherited a large estate from his grandfather. And through the years, his grandfather had a mentor, and he would often write his mentor and request help on different matters in life, things like finances and relationships, guidance and decisions, and maybe just encouragement during difficult times. And inside the grandfather's office was a file filled with unopened letters from the mentor. As the young man was going through it, he found all these letters and started looking at them. And the strange thing was, they were never opened. They were all just put in a file every time it came in. So think, you know, all the requests that he had, the grandfather had, all the help that he wanted, he never received it. He never acted on it because he never opened the letter from his mentor. It might be how many Christians treat prayer, isn't it? There's a lot of help and guidance and direction through God, and we oftentimes don't access that power. You know, we're in a covenant relationship with God, and yet we fail to take advantage of the tremendous power that's there with Almighty God. We began a series last week on covenant living. And so a covenant is what? It's a relationship. It's a relationship between two people, and they make a binding promise. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And they work together to try to achieve the common goal at hand. But unlike a contract, a covenant is personal. You know, me and Chase might sign an agreement to do something as a contract, but he and I might go in as a covenant on something else. To be better men of the church. To be a better leader. To be a better father. To be a better husband. Whatever it might be. But as we look at the covenants throughout Scripture, we see there's multiple covenants throughout. But we find that they shape the narrative of God's relationship with His people. We're going to look briefly at five particular covenants: the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Davidic covenant, and the New covenant. And each of these covenants, they build on each other. So each one is more important, and you could probably say more powerful, but each one is revealing God's character and revealing more of who God is and revealing more of what God's plan is for His people. They demonstrate His faithfulness and His commitment to His creation. And God created us to be in a relationship with Him. God created us to spend eternity with Him if we so choose. But unfortunately, there are going to be some people that choose not to follow Christ. There are going to be some that choose to follow their own ways and live their own life, and as a result, they'll choose their own circumstances eternally. But these covenants, they often include a sign or a symbol, and it's also a reminder for us to be to be reminded of God's promises, and we need to trust in God's promises. The covenants that are in the Bible, they're not just historical events, though. They shape our understanding of God's relationship with humanity and invites us to join Him in that plan. We see that throughout His Word. And we see His, we experience His love and His grace. We see His patience. We see His mercy. And we see His unwavering commitment to restore that broken relationship between man and God. From the very first couple, from Adam and Eve, who broke that relationship, it's been an ongoing process to bring people back into the right relationship, to restore that relationship with Christ. These covenants, they demonstrate His love and faithfulness and His redemption plan for all of humanity. The Noahic covenant, of course, it was established with Noah after the great flood. And he promised that he would never destroy the entire earth with water. Now, recently in the last 6 months, we're like, are you sure? getting kind of close to home here. But you know, if you think about what happened in Kentucky and Tennessee last week and Western North Carolina back in September and October, and you think of the deluge of water and just washing stuff away and covering homes and treetops, and the flood covered the hilltops and the mountaintops. It covered it all. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 13 through 17, God says, I'll never do that again. I promise you. You may have flooding in Western North Carolina and Tennessee, but I'll never flood the entire earth again. He says in verse 13 through 17, He says, I've set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all of life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. And so God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all life on the earth. And so the rainbow serves as a sign. We see them today, don't we? We see rainbows and double rainbows. And whenever somebody says, oh, did you see the rainbow? Or if you begin to see one, we often just stop and look at it, don't we? Just for the sheer beauty of it. And we think of some of the miraculous pictures, the gorgeous pictures that have been taken of rainbows and paintings of rainbows. And we see it for the beauty, but oftentimes we don't take it to where it needs to go to be reminded that, yes, it rained, but that is a sign from God. That is God's sign to us that, yes, it rained, but I'll never destroy the earth again through the rain. And so it reminds us of God's faithfulness to His promise. The Abrahamic covenant was made between Abraham, and He promised Abraham a long line of descendants and land and great blessings. In Genesis chapter 13, verse 16, we see the promise that He's going to bless Abraham with a multitude of descendants. It says in verse 16, I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. Man. Did you dust your house this week? Every little particle of dust. God said, I'm going to bless you like the dust on your countertops. Wow. In Genesis 15, 19, he promised Abraham the promised land. It says in verse 18, on that day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham and said, to your descendants, I give you this land, from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. So we see the promise made to his descendants. He made the promise to give them the promise, or to the promised land. And then finally, the promise of great blessings. He says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, he says, I will make you into a great nation. A great nation, and I will bless you. He tells them. And I will make your name great. And here we are, 6,000 years later, talking about Abraham and what a great man he was and the promise that he had, the covenant that he had with God, and the story and the promise that God fulfilled that and is fulfilling this promise here. But it laid the foundation for God's chosen people, Israel, and it also was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. The Mosaic Covenant was made between God and Moses on Mount Sinai. It included the Ten Commandments. It established the need for obedience and holiness, to live an obedient and holy life. It also showed us the need for a perfect sacrifice. We've been looking at we started our Bible study off talking about in 2 Peter chapter 3 how the world is going to be and how it was and it tells us to live holy lives. To live holy lives. And what a great calling that is. But he reminds us that in bringing all the sacrifices, we talk about to be found blameless and without defect. And so the people of the day had to bring an undefiled sacrifice. Had no blemish on it. Had no cut, no scrape, no scar on it. Here Jesus is going to be the pure sacrifice. The unblemished sacrifice. The Mosaic Law included 613 laws that they were to follow without breaking. We can't follow the Ten Commandments, let alone 613 other ones, right? And all of that was to prove that we are not perfect and we cannot be perfect. And so therefore we need a perfect sacrifice to forgive our sins. And that perfect sacrifice was through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, it says, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. We can try our best to fulfill the law. We can be as good as we want to be. You know, give to the church, come to church, do this, be on mission and ministry. But nobody's perfect. And he says here, that no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Look at ourselves. Look at your actions. Look at your motivations and your attitudes. Maybe from today, certainly from this week, and you soon realize that we're not perfect, are we? That we're sinful people. And there's nothing that we can do to make that sin right outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to share this at Ray's funeral Saturday. But he said, I'm going to stand before Jesus because the blood of Jesus. Because we can't stand before Jesus in our humanity, in our sinfulness. We have to have the blood of Jesus to take away the sins of our life, so that we can stand before the Lord. the Davidic covenant. God made this covenant with King David, promising an eternal kingdom through his lineage, that through him would come the Savior. It pointed to Jesus as the ultimate fulfillment of God's promises throughout Scripture. He is the eternal King that comes through David's line. And he'll sit on the eternal throne in the eternal kingdom. Amen? And he shows through that the Father-Son relationship with David's heirs. In 2 Samuel, verse 16, it says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Now, one day, the Lord Jesus is going to crack the clouds open. And he's going to step foot and establish his kingdom here on earth. Amen. That was the Davidic covenant. The new covenant that Jesus, he established through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. It's the promise that God made to us. The promise that God will forgive our sin. That God, through the blood of Jesus, we can stand before God one day. That we can fellowship together. If we choose Jesus. It says that God will forgive our sins for those who turn their life towards Him, who follow Him. And this covenant fulfills and surpasses all the previous covenants ever made. And it's available to anybody and everybody that would choose Christ. They would say, "Yes, I'm surrendering myself. I'm surrendering my soul to Christ. I want to follow Christ for the rest of my days." You see, the Bible says to persevere to the end, to be faithful to the end. So when we accept Christ, it's not a one and done, it's to the end, right? It's to the very end, to our very last breath. Amen. Jeremiah 31, verse 33 said, "This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, and I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." Fast forward to the New Testament. Fast forward through the life of Jesus. In Luke chapter 22, verse 20, Jesus says, "In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'The cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.' He shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sin. Praise be to God." You see, in a covenant, both parties commit to a responsibility. Here, God has pledged his faithfulness. He's pledged his provisions and his power. He's pledged his forgiveness, the forgiveness of our sin. But as believers, we have to respond in faith and obedience and prayer. And this morning, I want to look at the prayer. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we see the power of righteous prayer. And verse 16, it begins off, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Well, that verse starts out saying that we have a responsibility to each other to pray for each other. And he goes on and it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You see, prayer isn't passive. It's a force in covenant living. It's a divine partnership with God Almighty. And James adds there, he adds a condition though. He says, of a righteous man or a righteous person. You see, in the Old Testament, covenants were sealed with obedience. But in Christ, the righteousness is given by faith in Christ, and lived out in obedience. And so if we neglect our prayer, we're neglecting one of the greatest blessings of covenant living and living for Christ. And so we ask ourselves this morning, are we living as covenant people through our prayer? You see, prayer changes circumstances. Prayer changes things. Prayer brings divine intervention. Think about it. When Israel cried out in captivity in Egypt, God responded and ultimately delivered them. And James says in this verse, he says that you may be healed. You see, prayer can bring healing, both physical and spiritual healing. The prayer can move mountains. We learn in Acts 12 where the angel came and set Peter free from prison. But prayer isn't about what we can get from God. God's not a genie that we offer up our request list to. We don't rub the Bible or rub the bottle and out pops Jesus and we request what we want. Prayer's about surrendering ourselves and our ways and our desires unto the will of God. Living in obedience to Him. It's not about what we can get, but it's about God changing us. It's not about changing our circumstances. It's about God changing us. And through our surrender, He changes us and molds us. He is the potter and He makes us into who He wants us to be. It says, talks about the righteous man. The righteous man has powerful prayer. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." You know, we went through Proverbs last year and looked at the right path and the wrong path and following God or following ourselves. And here it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, far from those who choose their own ways, but He hears the prayers of those who follow Him." Yes, we're called to be righteous. And if we want our prayers to be effective and fervent, powerful and effective, we have to live in obedience and live a faithful life. And to live in the fullness of God's promises, we have to pray fervently. This verse is more than just a verse, but it's a promise to us. Prayer isn't just a privilege that we have to come before the Lord and bring our request to Him. But it is a covenant responsibility between us and God. Remember all the unopened letters the grandfather had? Imagine if he had opened them. I wonder how his life would have changed. I wonder how his life would have been different. He would have received the help and the wisdom and the encouragement and the guidance that he sought. Folks, God is waiting on us to open the door to Him through prayer. He's waiting to show us the guidance for our finances, help in our relationships and discernment in hard decisions and to encourage us during difficult times. But we have to access Him. We have to go to Him and receive His Word back. Remember, if you will, the Elijah. Think about covenant living. He prayed for the rain to stop. And what happened? It stopped. Oh, but then he prayed for it to rain, and what happened? It rained. What about Hannah? Remember her story? She so desperately wanted a child. And she said, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you. He heard her prayer and answered her prayer. And she was faithful and gave her son back. What about Daniel? Remember the struggles of Daniel? And he prayed. And he was made strong for the difficulties and the bad situations he found himself in. And God answered those prayers. What about Jesus? He prayed. He prayed in public and he prayed in private. He prayed for big things and little things. But he prayed with great intensity to the point in the Garden of Gethsemane that he sweat drops of blood. He prayed with such intensity. Do our prayers reflect that type of intensity? Are we living a true covenant people by praying the way God wants us to pray? What does your prayer time look like? This past week, our Bible study was on prayer. I pray that you go back and revisit that and make prayer an important part of your everyday life. He wants to answer them. He wants to bless you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to give you guidance and discernment. More than that, he just wants to love on you through it, because he loves you more than anything or anybody else. He loves you so much that he said, "I can't. Y'all can't get it right. Y'all are trying to be good and you're trying to overcome your sin, but you can't. But I love you so much that I'm going to send my son to die on a cross so that you can have eternal life with me forever." Will you choose that today? Maybe today your walk with the Lord is off in a ditch, maybe. Or maybe not walking the way you want to be walking with the Lord. I've said before, one of the great prayers that God would be glad to answer was, "God, help me get back. God, here I am. Lord, I'm coming home." Maybe that's your prayer for today. Whatever it is, as we sing our hymn of invitation, "Just as I Am," that's the way God wants you to come. You can't get good enough for God. He just wants you to come just like you are and surrender your life to Him. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we thank You for the covenants that are found in Your Word, what they show us about You and about who You are, and how it shows our responsibility with You. Father, there is great power in prayer of a righteous person. Father, help us to live that life that You want us to live. And help us to be prayers of prayers that are surrendered to You. So that not we can get anything, but so that we can be changed to become more like You. And Lord, we thank You for hearing our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Just as just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot. O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, a wintry scene will dwell.
Would you pray as we play one more verse?